You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with a reserved double portion.
I believe we can miss out on a double because we got the wrong people with us. Abraham realized that. Abraham told Lot, you got to go. You got to left here. God promised you, he's going to bless me. He's going to bless those that bless me. He's going to make my name great. And I'm getting caught up in all this strife and this drama with you. I don't have time for this. I got a promise over my life. And if wherever you go, I'll go to I'll go the opposite direction. But obviously, we can't go together. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? That means y'all got to be on the same page. You got to have the same vision. You got to have the same values. You have to have the same desires. You have to have the same mentality. And sometimes you're not making progress because you're too busy arguing about which way you should be going. Paul and Silas ended up parting because Paul said, no, when I mess around with John Mark no more, when I mess around with him, last time he was slothful and he was just a weight. He didn't want to work. He was lazy. And Barnabas insisted that he should go with them. And the contention was so sharp between them that they parted from each other. And we never heard about Barnabas again. Look to your neighbor and say, be careful who you take with you. So now Saul, he's looking for his father's asses. Can y'all handle it when I say asses? That's what the Bible says, right? We qualify this every time we go to say it. Ass of donkeys, asses. As a matter of fact, it sounds better if I say asses. Because it's a menial task. That's why I want you to see here. It was a menial task. He was looking for his father's asses for 3 days. Listen to me, y'all. Through mountainous terrain. For 3 days through mountainous terrain. When you're going through mountainous terrain, there are hills and valleys. When you go through mountainous terrain, there's peaks and lows. When you go through mountainous terrain, there's ups and downs. Have any of y'all been through any mountainous terrain? Where you have some peaks and valleys. Where you have some highs and lows. Where you have some ups and downs. And so, he's on his way trying to find his father's asses because he told him to. Chooses a particular servant to go along with him to help him. And the first place we see he goes to look for him is a place called Ephraim. Ephraim. Now, as you look in the scriptures, Ephraim was the second son of Joseph. Ephraim was blessed by Joseph and given preference over the first son, Manasseh. Remember, Jacob switched hands. And so, the interesting thing, Ephraim, the name literally means double ash heap. Double ash heap. And it means I shall be doubly fruitful. Now, I had to meditate on this a while because it didn't say a double gold heap. It says double ash heap. Ashes are what's left after something's been consumed. Ashes is what's left after something has been burned. Ashes is what's left after you've been through some trials. But he got double ash heap. But looking at the double ash heap, it says, I shall be doubly fruitful. The only way you can look at double ashes and believe you're going to be doubly fruitful, you got to take God at his word that he said, I'm going to give you beauty for those ashes. Some of you've been through some stuff. You say, how can I get double? All I got is this. I got double ashes. But you got to believe God's word that 2019, God said, I'm going to make an exchange with you. I'm going to make an exchange with you. I'm going to give you beauty for those ashes. I'm going to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I'm going to give you joy for mourning. But you got to be willing to make the exchange and say, God, I'm going to take what I have and bring it to you and believe some kind of way you want to turn this thing around for my good. So the first place he comes is to Ephraim. The second mountainous place on his journey to find his father's ashes, he comes to a place called Shilisha. I got a niece named Delicia. Mama tried, I guess. Shilisha. Interesting enough, Shilisha, it means thirds. Thirds. Now it looks like we're going backwards. I'm looking for the double, but I got thirds. If I get double, that's at least 250%. If I got thirds, I got 33.33%. From double to a third, and you still don't have your stuff. Some of you, it looked like you've been going backwards rather than forwards. But you got to stick with your assignment. Some of you, God promised me if I do this, if I stay here, if I give, if I sow, if I tithe, if I walk in love, if I be faithful, I believe I'm going to have increase. Increase. The best I got is thirds. Thirdly, comes to a place called Shilim. All while he's trying to get to his father's sheep, Shilim. Shilim, it means foxes. Foxes. Now the Bible tells us some stuff about foxes. It says, because it's little foxes that spoil the vine. You're on your way to destiny, believing God for increase, and foxes come and mess up your stuff. Foxes come and devour what you've been working on. Financial foxes, mental foxes, relationship foxes, foxes on your job, foxes getting your car. Oh, you only have no car foxes, huh? Foxes will try to destroy your harvest. Foxes will scare other livestock away. Foxes. And then the fourth place he comes along his journey is to the Benjamites. Remember, he's of the tribe of Benjamin. Surely this is a good place. I've been through some trouble. I've had hills and valleys. I've had ashes. I've got done with this foxes. Well, praise God. I'm finally around my own people. The Benjamites. And sometimes you think the best place to be is with your family. And then you find, I get around them and I still don't have no harvest. His own people, but they still couldn't help him on his destiny. He's around them, but they didn't know where the sheep were either. Sometimes you're around people and it's comfortable, but they're not helping you. Sometimes you're around people and it feels good, but it's a place of complacency. And God's saying, you got an assignment. I know you want to stay here. I know you're comfortable here, but it's not where I called you to be. I often think about that. When I got fired from my job in 1997, my manager said, well, Herb, I know you're originally from New Jersey. I guess you'll be going back there now since you don't have a job and all that. I said, no, I'm not going. He said, well, that's where your family is. I said, yeah, but that's not where God told me to be. Glory to God. You got to know when you got to make separations when God got a different plan for your life. Abraham separated from Lot. He didn't change the faith. He said, we're kin. We're kin, but we just can't go together. I said, you're still my nephew. I see you at the family reunion. But I have an assignment. And so even though he went to the Benjamite, the assignment was, go get your father's asses. go find. And so he had to, even though that may have been comfortable, he had to keep it moving. Look, somebody say, keep it moving. I'm telling you, some of you, that's a word for somebody. Enjoy your family, but keep it moving. They're not going where you're going. They don't even understand where you're going. They don't even understand your assignment. They don't understand your calling. I love you, but I got to keep it moving. I'll see you when I see you. I got to keep it moving. And then finally, the fifth region he comes to is a place called Zoph. Zoph means honeycomb. So now he gets to a place of honeycomb. It's sweet here. It's nice here. And God brought him to this place. Because even though, watch this, even though he was on journeys and he went from, and he goes from Ephraim to Shelisha to Shalim to Benjamite and comes to Zoph, and even though he's been through these places and it looked like he's unfruitful, it looked like he still hasn't found his father's donkey, God was ordering his steps. That's a word for somebody. I know it doesn't look like, you made any progress, but you got to know God's been ordering your steps. The only reason why the devil hasn't been able to take you out, because God's been ordering your steps. I know you don't have everything you thought you'd have by now, but God's been ordering your steps. Because if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, he will direct your path. God will direct your path and you stumble into a place. You stumble into to the honeycomb and you wonder how you got here. And you realize after you look back over, this is not coincidence. This is the Lord's doing. God brought me to this place. So now he comes to the place of honeycomb. Zoph would be the place of his destiny. Zoph would be the place of his purpose. Zoph would be the place of his calling. Zoph will be the place of his life assignment. Zoph will be the Kairos place. Zoph will be the place where he finally gets direction for his life. And yet he's at this place and still don't have the answers yet. And as Zoph, Saul almost gave up on his assignment. If it weren't for having chose the right servant to accompany him on this mountainous journey. I told you I was going to bring that back to you, right? It was important who you take with you on your journey. After Saul's been through all this and all these mountains reached. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how they were traveling. I don't know. I don't know if they were on horse. I don't know if they were on carriage. I don't know if they were on foot. But it's 3 days. And we also will see that they ran out of rations. So ran out of food. Ran out of water. And so it doesn't look like this is being productive. And even though he comes to the place of honey. To the honeycomb. He says, let's go back. Look at 1 Samuel 9 verse 5. And when they were come to the land of Zoph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come, let us return, lest my father stop caring for the asses and now start being worried about us. Seemed logical. Been 3 days. We haven't found the asses yet. Let's go back. But I'm here to give somebody a prophetic word. You've come too far to give up now. You've come too far to go back now. God didn't bring you this far to leave you. Are y'all listening to me? Somebody say, I've come too far to go back now. The Bible says that when Jesus sent his disciples, he went to a deserted place to pray. And he sent his disciples across the sea and told them, I'll catch up with y'all later. Because Jesus could do that. He sends them across the sea. And in the midst of the night, the Bible says they were in the midst of the sea. I think the New Living Translation, other translations say they were in the middle of the sea. In the middle. Any of y'all in the middle of some stuff? Come on. Any of y'all ever been in the middle of something? Here's the thing about being in the middle of it. When you're in the midst of something, when you're in the middle of your trouble, when you're in the middle of your trial, when you're in the middle of sickness, when you're in the middle of trauma, listen, if you're in the middle, it takes just as much to go forward as to go backward as it does to go forward. So keep on going. Look, somebody say, keep on going. Come on, if you're in the middle of it, the word is keep going, keep going, keep going. Every step that you take from this point, every place that you roll from this point is going to get you closer to the destination. So don't go back after you've been in the middle. Look at somebody and say, I can't stop now. So the next prophetic word for you for 2019 is you don't have to heed godly counsel. You got to heed godly counsel. Can I tell you, as your pastors, we're not trying to control anybody's life. Because I discovered something. You can't only control but so many people. That's why folks controlling churches don't have no more than 25, 50 folks. Because you can't control everybody. You got to teach people to hear God. You got to teach people principles. But you can't control people. I know some pastors, before you read any book, bring it to me. I don't have time to look over all your books. I ain't no librarian. That's foolishness. Don't you go to nobody else's church without checking with me. No, I'm going to teach you some kind of place where you should go, where you're not going, and so you don't get food poisoning. But you got to, you know, but you're going to make your own decisions. I can't control you. But there are times when either you will come to us for counsel or the Lord leads us to give you counsel. And you got to know to heed godly counsel. Because the Bible says in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. There is safety in counsel. So because he brought this particular servant with him. Remember his father said just choose one servant. But he chose the right one. This servant said to him, 1 Samuel 9 and 7, then said Saul to his servant, behold, verse 6, 1 Samuel 9 and 6, and he said unto him, servant said, behold now, there is in this city, where? What city we at? We at Zoph. You're getting ready to give up. But the answer is right here in this city. I know everything hasn't manifested yet, but don't go back yet. There's in this city. In this city, there's a man of God, and he's an honorable man. He's a man who ain't sleep with the. He's an honorable man. And all that he saith shall surely come to pass. Now let us go there. Peradventure, he can show us our way that we should go. He was getting ready to give up. But the servant said, sir, I don't think that we should go back right now. We're in the right place. We just got to find the man of God in this city. There's a man of God that can give us some counsel. Now, first of all, he was telling him, Saul was going to have to be humble enough for two types of counsel. Number one, from his servant. See, that's why if you got servants and people working with you, they got to have your best interests at heart and not people with their own agenda. He said, I'm here to help you find your father's asses. And if there's somebody here that can help us, I think we need to find that man. So verse 7 says, then says Saul to his servant, behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, that we're out of food. And there's not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? Saul said, I don't have any money. Now, I don't believe he was broke because he was the son of a rich man. I wasn't planning on being out here this long. I left my checkbook home. I left my credit cards home. And like my wife, she don't never have no cash. Verse 8, and the servant answered, Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth of a shekel of silver. For the sake of illustration, let's imagine a shekel representing a dollar. Now, he's a servant. I got a quarter. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. It's good to have somebody around who got some seed. Is there any seed in the house? Because here's the other prophetic word. Keep seed to sow. I know all kind of sales come your way. This time of year, they trying to get your tax return before you ever see it. Come on down here. We'll file it for you. Get your car and your furniture. Okay? But I'm telling you, you need to keep some seed to sow. God gives us bread for our food and gives us seed to sow. Don't get them mixed up. Keep seed to sow. He said, we need to go to the man of God, but it was customary, it was understood that when you come before a man of God, you don't come empty-handed. The Queen of Sheba understood that when she came to see Solomon. That's why she came with a great train. She first just came with enough to get in the door, and after she got blessed by him, then she sent to the Navy and said, bring all the rest of the stuff. Because she went from sowing a seed just to get in the door now to a seed of appreciation and gratitude. Keep seed to sow. 1 Samuel 9, verse 15. I'm just about done, y'all. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came. While he was on his way, God was talking to Samuel. He thought he was on some futile journey, but God was ordering his steps and directing his path and already told the man of God he's coming. I told y'all years ago, we had this couple in church and they said, the Lord sent us here to be your prophets. I said, did he? They said, yeah. I said, he didn't tell me he was coming. The Lord told him in his ear the day before. Okay, let's bring it together. Your name is in the wind. God's talking to somebody about you before you even get there. Just let God order your steps, direct your path, keep seed in the ground. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came. Now tomorrow about this time. Now he's been traveling for 3 days. But the day before, God starts speaking to Samuel and said, tomorrow about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin. And thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel. Captain means to be ruler over Israel, to be the king of Israel. Watch it, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistine. For I have looked upon my people because their cry has come to me. So I want you to understand that while Saul was staying on his assignment, God was talking to the man of God about him. If he went back, he would have missed his Kairos moment. If he got too exhausted, if he got too frustrated, if he gave up, he never would have come to his destiny. So God is talking to Saul. God is talking to Samuel. But Saul got to stay on his assignment and keep doing and keep pursuing what his father told him to pursue, even though it looked like it wasn't coming together. Look, somebody say, it's coming together, it's coming together. I'm prophesying over somebody telling you that it's coming together, even though it don't look like it's coming together. There's something happening behind the scenes. There's something happening behind the curtain.
Experience double favor, double blessing, double anointing this year. Bishop Herbert, Dr. Marsha, and Pastor Chandler Bailey will help to ignite your expectation as you believe God for double in 2019. Order this timely 3-part series today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rdci.info. For immediate access, subscribe to rightdirection.tv. Ask for the 2019 New Year's Revival.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.